Very deep sigh. Very deep sigh. But it's Friday. Hey, everybody. I'm Kyle Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today and maybe the whole week. I don't know. Makes sense. We'll see.
I'm Samantha Fields. Thanks for joining us for Economics on Tap this Friday on the YouTube live stream or on the podcast. We'd like to end the week around here with some news and a round of our favorite game, Half Full, Half Empty.
So let's see. A couple of things. Number one, apparently the video is being a little glitchy, but it's good for now. So we're just going to roll with it. Number two, and this is a little awkward, Dr. Adams, but your sister is off at a baby shower. So thank you for coming, and we will pass along your best regards. Let's see. Number three, what are you drinking? I'm having a beer. You know, Stone.
I'm shocked to hear that,
Standard Stone for me.
What do you got?
Yes, standard I know. It's my Standard Stone. What about you?
I'm channeling Kimberly, actually. I am drinking a cocktail. It is called The Last Word. It's something I learned about recently at a bar near my house. And it normally has gin, but they make it with mezcal, which I prefer anyway. So it's got one part mezcal, one part maraschino, one part green chartreuse, and one part lemon juice. And I highly recommend it if you've never had it.
I have never had it. A couple of things. Number one, I used to have a regular bar near my house when I was younger.
Oh, did you?
I don't anymore. Yeah, it was good. It was nice to have a bar and be a regular. Number two, and this is a serious question. What's the difference between mezcal and tequila?
The smoky flavor. But in terms of what the actual difference is and how it's made, I'm not exactly sure. But I'm going to Mexico soon, so I will try to find out.
Oh, are you? All right. Well, yes. Report back, if you would, the next time you happen to be on this podcast.
I will do some investigating.
Let's see. Let's check the chat here. We got some Arnold Palmer. Yeah, Christopher Grouse says that Stone Hazy is delicious. Blackberry Lemon Vizzy. I don't even know what that is from Margie Klitsch.
I don't know what that is either, but now I'm curious.
Yeah, no joke. Let's see. Hang on a minute. There was another one up here. Grizzly Paw Brewing Evolution IPA out of Kenmore, Alberta, which I would definitely be in favor of. I don't know why Tamara Hayes says
orange juice
I look like I'm
gin.
Vibrating. That's weird. Homemade orange juice and gin. I'd take that.
I would too. Oh, people are chiming in on tequila versus mezcal. We've got tequila
of course
comes
there. Wait,
from
hang.
One state.
Oh, is that right? Is it like champagne? It's got to be like, you know.
I didn't know that. See, they're
Appalachian
making us smart on the chat today.
They are making us smart. They
I love
are
this.
Making us smart. All right. The process and location. Look at that. Oh, my God.
I've already learned things today.
Awesome.
We've only been on
That's
here a
great.
Couple minutes.
No joke. We haven't started yet. Okay. So let's
All
start.
Right,
let's.
News time?
So standard format applies. We'll do some news. We'll do a little half full, half empty. And then we will be on about our Friday. I'll go first just because I'm up first in the rundown.
Perfect.
And I just want to point out that this is going to be a much bigger story than people, I think, have been computing for the last 10 days or 2 weeks. So we know markets have been messed up because of the war, right? They had the supply chain glitches to begin with, and then the war went crazy, and we talked about wheat really early on and how Russia and Ukraine together are something like 25 to 30% of the global market and how that's a bad thing and all of that. There was a story last week that blew my mind, and I'm glad that Matt Levin's going to do it for us on Marketplace on Monday, but it's a larger thing about markets going haywire. So the nickel market in London at the London Mercantile Exchange basically broke. The nickel market broke. They shut it down. The LME voided a bunch of trades. They wouldn't let it trade for a week after the price went up like some insane percentage. Not necessarily because there's a nickel shortage, but because the market mechanism itself broke. And the same thing is happening. That volatility and the inability of the underlying market to deal with it is fracturing what's going on. It's happening in wheat. It's happening in oil. The commodities markets are really stressed. They're not handling it. And look the hell out. That's all I've got to say. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone I was talking to yesterday for a story about how the war is affecting the car market, right? They've downgraded the number of cars that they expect that will be made this year by 2.5 million.
Right.
And one of the people I was talking to mentioned nickel. She said nickel is just so insane and it goes into car batteries. And, you know, this is going to have ripple effects all over the place.
Right. And also in your piece, I think, talking about wire harnesses that are made in Ukraine, right?
Yep,
all those wire harnesses for the wires
for
that
the
go
cars,
in cars,
yep.
which are now basically driving computers, all of that stuff. And I don't know. And look, thank God I'm not Jay Powell, because I was thinking about how he sleeps at night, given the pressure on him. But you know, merely raising interest rates, whether it's us or Christine Lagarde at the European Central Bank, raising mm-hmm. interest rates is not going to fix this. And so the challenges, I think, are going to be long lasting. And I'm not sure anybody's ready for that yet, truly.
It doesn't seem like it.
But what do I know? Yeah. So anyway, that's my news. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's a big deal. It's a big, big deal.
So some good news to start off this Friday is what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, I have more good news to follow you with, which is the story I can't stop thinking about this week is that the U.S. is apparently running out of COVID funding for things like testing, vaccines, and treatments. The White House had asked Congress for $22.5 billion more dollars. None of that made it into the government spending package last week. And they're saying as soon as next week, I think starting Monday, they will no longer be able to reimburse or cover testing, vaccines, and treatments for people who don't have health insurance. And then starting in May, they're going to start running out of monoclonal antibody treatments. They're not going to be able to buy new ones. They're not going to be able to buy antiviral pills. They're not going to be able to cover the cost of boosters if there's a second one needed, which we know both Moderna and Pfizer both are applying for emergency authorization for those. They're not going to be able to cover that for all Americans. And the list goes on and on. We're not going to be able to send as many vaccines overseas. And so I guess I just keep thinking about what happens now. We're at a point in the pandemic where all the states are getting rid of mask mandates. They're getting rid of vaccine requirements at a lot of places. And we're supposed to be sort of getting back to normal life. But to do that, we need these tools, right? And if we don't have the money for these tools anymore, what happens? I mean, there's a huge wave going on again, or maybe not huge, but there's a wave again in Europe. There's a huge wave in Asia. It's coming here again. So what are we doing?
It's coming. It's coming, right. So the pandemic is not over. And the way this thing has worked since 2 years ago is that we see the waves going around the world and they come here. We saw it going through China and then Europe and then us every single time. And it's coming here. And the idea now that we're running out of money to provide all of those things that Sam was talking about, it just bananas. Makes no sense.
I don't want to live here anymore, but here we are. Yeah. This is the world we're in right now.
For sure. For sure. For sure. You got another one?
I do have another one, actually. Another article that really stuck out to me was in the Journal this week. And it was about, you know, how, given how insane the housing market's been, we've talked about that a ton on all of the marketplace programs for a couple of years now. Last year, the average home in the U.S. gained more in value than the average worker earned. So the typical home appreciated about 52. So the typical home in the U.S., which, I mean, obviously that's a tricky thing to calculate, but as they're measuring it, appreciated about $52,000 last year. The average worker earned $50,000. Right. So homeowners made more from their homes than people made at their jobs. And the number the numbers are even more insane in parts of California. They cited in San Diego, the average home appreciated $160,000. The average worker earned $55,000. And I just can't stop thinking about that because, one, I mean, so many people, self-included over here, are priced out of the market or feel that way. It just feels completely impossible if you're not in already that you can ever think about buying a house. And then also it's just people who already own homes are just earning more, right? It's like the gap is widening and widening and rent is going up for people who can't own homes. So it's just, I don't know, it's just widening so much.
It's widening and completely depressing. Two points about that. Number one, one of the many depressing parts about this is that this will only exacerbate the racial wealth gap in this country.
Exactly.
Because as we know, far fewer people of color in this economy own homes than white people, right? And so the white people are accumulating wealth and people of color, specifically black people, right? Because they typically own homes at a far lower rate than almost any other demographic group, get nothing, right? That's number one. Number two, and this is a little wonky, but bear with me here. Shelter is about 32% of the input to the consumer price index. That is to say, shelter is about 32% of how we measure inflation in this economy. And with home prices going up the way they are, with absolutely zero sign that they're going to slow down, right?
Zero sign.
That means zero sign. That means that inflation will likely remain higher for longer than many people, up to and including, I believe, Jay Powell, think it is going to. And that's really challenging. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. That's not
and because
great.
another thing that I had been reading about recently and thinking about doing a story about is, you know, with home prices going up so much, a lot of people are priced out of the market. And so more people are renting for longer, more higher income people are renting for longer, which is pushing up rents for everyone also. So again, sort of lower and middle income people are being squeezed even more because the rental market is tighter and more expensive.
So look, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. You can tell me to go to hell if you want to, but what are you going to do? Are you just going to rent for the rest of your life? Are you pretty much resigned to that?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that because I live in New York City, obviously one of the most expensive markets in the country. Yeah. But when I look at other places, I've moved a lot. I've lived in a ton of different places. I'm very open to that. But any place that I have people is really expensive, you know? And I love living in a city, and cities are expensive. Yeah. So I really don't know what the answer is yet.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, so look, this is an awkward turn, but I'm going to make it anyway because it's kind of my job.
Let's do it.
You know what else is expensive? This program and Marketplace Indeed. And Marketplace Tech and all our podcasts and the morning show with David. It's all expensive. And so we come to you every now and then to ask you to help us out. And you have so far. We are at $53,000 as of this afternoon. The goal is $100,000 by next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, I suppose. And look, we need your help. Marketplace.org/givesmart. I'm going to say it again so you can understand me. Marketplace.org/givesmart. If you can, we would appreciate it. We really would.
And hey, if you're looking for a little swag, if $7 a month is in your budget, we have a liquid assets. I can't even say that. So let me say that again. We have a liquid assets mason jar mug. Wow, it really is Friday over here. It's perfect for spring and summer drinks for the next time you join us for Economics on Tap. So that is an option if you can give $7 a month.
It's kind of a cute little mug. You fill it with a Batanga and your afternoon will be over. All right, Drew, let us, please. All right, the game is called Half Full, Half Empty. Our host, Drew Jostad, begin.
Are you half full or half empty on adding the capability for background checks to dating apps?
Ooh, wow.
Interesting.
Okay, so look, I've been married for 25 years. So yeah, Sam, whatever you say, I'm going to go with.
Okay, great. I think I'm half full on that, although I really would want to know how it works. As someone who has used dating apps recently, I would be into that, but curious how it would work, what they would need from you.
Yeah, it seems to make sense. And also, and look,
yeah.
So I've got a 14-year-old daughter who anytime I say anything says, oh, Dad, that's misogyny. What are you doing? So please don't take it that way. But you got to figure that you're going to want to background check the dudes more than the not dudes. And so let's just check the guys, right? Because anyway, whatever.
I don't know. That, yeah.
No, you don't think so? All right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. All right.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that to everyone. But I just do wonder, and then you have to wonder, too, where is that information going? How can people
hackers access
that? I mean, it is tricky. But, I do like the idea of having a little more of that on the internet.
Fair enough. What Sam said. Drew, number two.
Next one, online shopping is continuing to boom. Samantha Fields had the story for us this week. Are you half full or half empty?
On online shopping, I'm half full. I'm half full.
I'll be half empty on how much we all purchase online all the time and how much we're all consuming all the time, I guess.
So two things. Yes, I totally hear that. Are we actually consuming more or are we just ordering more? I guess we're consuming more stuff,
right? Great
question. And we're consuming less dollar amount services. But look, e-commerce and the ability to click on something and just to have it show up on your doorstep, I don't know, 24 hours later, 18 hours later. It is very convenient and very almost too easy, for sure. Totally get that.
Definitely almost too easy.
All right. Yeah. There we go. Drew?
Okay. AMC is using meme stock money to buy a stake in a gold mine. Are you half full or half empty?
Oh my God. So AMC, which a year a little bit ago was the meme stock of the century with GameStop in the whole Reddit Wall Street Bets thing, and its stock was up 1,600% in the middle of June last year, announced this week, the CEO, by the way, who has profited handsomely from his company's meme stockification, announced that they had spent $28 million to buy 22% of Hycroft Mining Company, which has not this year really produced much gold, but they bought it anyway. And if you can tell me how gold mining is a core competency of a movie theater chain, fine. But I would say that publicity is the core competency of American movie chain. And
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's look, fine, whatever, haha, but I'm half empty. That's where I am.
I guess I'm half full just because I think it's kind of funny, but maybe that's too simplistic.
It is kind of funny. No, look, it's totally funny. Totally funny.
I'll take it on a Friday.
Fair.
Okay. Are you half full or half empty on the Netflix password sharing crackdown?
Half empty on that one. I don't share passwords.
Sam, why?
Definitely not.
How come?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
Kai,
so this
it seems
will come
like you're half full on
too.
That one.
Well, no, look, I have no position. I honestly don't care. But I will say that at least several members of my family who are over the age of 18, but not yet paying their own bills in full, have the house password on Netflix. Oh, my
of
God. All right,
they
so
do.
Let's see. It's Netflix, it's HBO, it's Disney Plus, and Hulu, right? I mean, so look, I'm as guilty as the next person. So I
think
know.
Literally everybody is.
Everybody. It's so interesting though.
I just don't know how they're going to claw it back, right?
Right. And Savannah Marr did the story for us this week. And the challenge is, look, it's money literally left on the table by these companies, but at the same time, you know, they want people to watch their content and buzz and all this jazz. So it's hard. I don't know.
And they're also all doing pretty okay, right?
Right. Oh, God. Yeah, you kidding me?
I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
More than okay. More than okay.
So half empty
Drew?
On that one.
What else we
for
got?
Sure.
Fair enough.
I think that we might already know how Kai feels about this one, but are you half full or half empty on being a famous enough public radio host to have a cardboard cutout of yourself?
Shut the So look, let me tell you the story. So here's why Drew is mentioning that. This week, somewhere in my Twitter feed, somebody at a public radio station somewhere across the country took a picture of themselves with a cardboard cutout of me that was taken like 10 years ago. And what happened was this. J.J. Yore, the guy running Marketplace at the time, came to me and said, hey, let's take a life-size picture of you, put it on cardboard, and send it out to the top 25 public radio stations in the country, and they can use it as marketing. And it'd be a great idea. And I, being an idiot, said, sure, fine, whatever, for the glory of Marketplace. That'll be fine. So I did it. They printed it out. Number one, I look like I'm 7'5". It's crazy. I'm just not that big and burly.
Hey, nothing
guy.
Wrong with that.
But number... Well, fair enough. But number two, these things haunt me. They come up in my Twitter feed probably two or three times a year. I think the people at Michigan, Bridget, you're going to have to back me up. The people at Michigan like put me in a yoga pose, like bending over backwards.
Oh my God.
And somebody else does it like they put me in a cubicle and they kind of do like this and they show me peeping over the top of the cubicle and it's really weird. Anyway, so look, I'm glad everybody in public radio has fun with those, but kill me. Kill me.
I don't know. I'm half kill full, me. But probably because there's not one of me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's all fun and games until it's a 7'5"
until
freaking picture of you. That's what I'm saying.
I would agree.
God. Yes. Oh, man. That mercifully is the end of this podcast. Kimberly and I are back on Monday. If you've got any burning questions, thoughts on the show, send them to us. Anything else on your mind as well. We're always happy to hear from you. Voice memo or an email at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Voice messages come to us at 508-827-6278, 508-UBSMART. Those are all letters, 508-UBSMART.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Marque Green. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Josthead. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind the game, half full, half empty, and also our video, by the way. Stephen Bion doesn't get enough credit for the video. He does the video. Everybody else helps out with the game. Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad, who can clearly do everything. The director of On Demand is Donna Tam. There you go.
We made
Friday
it. It's Friday.
In the books. That's right. We made it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Flat Stanley. That's right. I'm freaking Public Radio's Flat Stanley. That's what I am.
I'm going to have to see one of those.
No, you don't.